I'm morning today's Daf of Avodah Zarah, Samach Beis, meaning to say that we are starting today the fifth and final parakah of the Masechta. The Mishnah over here, as we are about to begin, is really a continuation of the fourth parakah, and we're talking about Yayin Nesach and the ramifications of Yayin Nesach. So as we mentioned, as we noted when we started Daf Nun Hei, which is now a week ago. So this is the final, I don't mean it literally, but the final chapter of the Masechta. It really begins on Nun Hei, even though it's in the middle of the fourth parak, but the final section of Masechta Avodah Zarah, which details the Isur of Yayin Nesach and the ramifications of Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach, Sam Yenam, etc., etc. So already back on Nun Hei, and in fact, later this morning, we're going to make reference to that mission all the way back on Nun Hei, talked about exactly when does the wine have the status of wine, at what point during the press does the wine actually become Yayin Nesach, or I should say even better, at what point in the stage, the process does it actually become Yayin. And if that means to say that if you had a goy who was there as part of the manufacturing of it, so then it would be Yayin Nesach. So that goes back a week ago to Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Even though we are turning the page in the Masechta and we're going to Samach Beis, which is the beginning of the next parak, the fifth parak, but really it's a continuation of the topic of Yayin Nesach. And here in this Mishnah, so we're going to be talking about working for Yayin Nesach. Working for Yayin Nesach, meaning getting wages. For Yayin Nesach, here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off as follows. Hasochus apol lasus himo b'Yayin Nesach schar asa. So let's say you hire a worker to work with you with Yayin Nesach. In other words, so the work is going to be involving the creation of Yayin Nesach, or maybe even just the transportation of Yayin Nesach. So then schar asa, so then the wages are going to be prohibited. Meaning that even though he worked and he got paid, he cannot get benefit from that money that he got paid. Because, now I'm about to finish the sentence, but it's a hard sentence to finish, meaning why exactly would the wages be asur? Let's consider. When we're talking about Yayin Nesach, so the wine itself is certainly asur b'shi asur b'hana. And again, as we're going to be discussing, as we've been discussing and we're going to discuss today, when we talk about Yayin Nesach, we can even further subdivide into two categories. One is Yayin Nesach, where the wine was actually used as Nesachim for Avodah Zarah, or we could just simply talk about Stam Yena, meaning that even though it wasn't used for Avodah Zarah, but as long as either the guy was the one who produced it, or even if he touched it by Kavanah, as we discussed in yesterday's daf, so then it's going to be Asur Midrabanan, which is called Stam Yena. Okay, so, but in either category, either it's the bona fide Yayin Nesach, or even if it's just the rabbinic Stam Yena, in both of those categories, I understand that the wine itself, you can't drink the wine, you can't get benefit from the wine. But let's consider now what we're talking about. We're talking about hire for working with Yayin Nesach. So in other words, my wages are coming now because I'm working, but I'm not receiving direct benefit from the Yayin Nesach. I'm only getting paid because I'm working with the Yayin Nesach. Now that's a little bit different, right? Everyone see the difference. Meaning when we're talking about Nisr Hana, we're talking about, you know, one is prohibited from receiving direct benefit from the wine itself. Okay. I'm not receiving direct benefit from the wine itself. I'm simply working with the wine and getting paid for that work. It's not exactly the same. So when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to get benefit from those wages, so I'm going to ask the question. I know the Gemara is going to discuss it, so I'm kind of setting us up for the Gemara, but I'm asking the question, why? Why are you not allowed to get benefit from those wages? If you're telling me it's an Isra Hana, you're only not allowed to get Isra Hana from the object itself. These are wages for working with the object. It's not the same. Stay tuned. Now, look at the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah itself now, case number two. Let's say I'm hired to do other work with this guy. So the guy hires me to do other things. Things which are mutter. And as part of my daily routine, as part of my job, so he says, you know what, take that barrel over there, which is Yayin Nesach, and schlep it from point A to point B. So schar mutter. So the wages that the person receives is going to be mutter. Okay, so already in the Mishnah, you see that if you're hired to work directly with the Yayin Nesach, so the wages are going to be asur. If you're hired to do other jobs and included in your daily task is going to be working with the Yayin Nesach, so then it's going to be mutter. Already in the Mishnah, you see that there's a distinction. What's exactly that distinction is based on? So again, stay tuned. We're going to be discussing much more of it in the Gemara. Next. Hasochus achamor lavi ala Yayin Nesach schar asur. Let's say you hire a donkey and the purpose of the donkey is to schlep Yayin Nesach from point A to point B, so then that rental of the donkey for schlepping Yayin Nesach is going to be asur. However, If let's say the donkey is to be hired for personal transport, but within the personal transport, the guy now is holding his Yayin Nesach in his lap. So basically now your donkey is really transporting Yayin Nesach. Albeit that's not the primary rental purposes of the donkey. Primary rental purposes of the donkey is to schlep the guy. Right? He needs transportation. It just happens to be that he's holding the Yayin Nesach in his hands. So the Mishnah says under those circumstances it would be mutter. So really what we have in our Mishnah now are two basic contractual relationships between an employer and an employee. The first one is a hiring, the second one is a rental. But in both cases of the Mishnah we have a clear contrast in which in one case where it's you're being hired directly to either work for or to rent to transport the Yayin Nesach. Under those circumstances, it's going to be Aser. In the second case of both sides of the Mishnah, where your primary working or your primary rental is not with the Yayin Nesach, but just matter of fact, but on the side, you're going to be working with the Yayin Nesach, so then the wages or the rental is going to be mutter. And again, why should that be? So stay tuned as we're going to be discussing this when we start with the Gemara.
The difference between the guy moving the barrels, he's still moving the Yayin Nesach.
Agreed. Exactly. In other words, what we really have to do is we have to put our finger on what exactly this Isser is. Meaning, we're not talking about getting benefit directly from the Yayin Nesach itself. You're going to get wages for working with the Yayin Nesach, and obviously it's different. Meaning, as we're going to see in the Gemara itself is going to try to wrap its head around what exactly this Isser is. So, my time is Charasar. So, the Gemara could not articulate the question any clearer. We're talking now about wages. Now, we're not talking about receiving direct benefit from the Yayin Nesach. We're talking about getting paid to work with the Yayin Nesach. So, why should those wages be Asar? In other words, what the Gemara seems to be asking is as follows. Again, let's go back to I'm going to be discussing it just for a moment on a general scope. Meaning, Yayin Nesach is Asar Bahana. And for our purposes right now, let's just assume, and I know the Gemara coming up, so for our purposes right now, let's assume we're talking about Mamash Yayin Nesach. Meaning, it was used as libation for Avodah Zarah. It has the status of Avodah Zarah. Okay. And that means, of course, that I can't consume it, that goes without saying, and I can't get benefit from it. Okay. But when I'm working with the Yayin Nesach, so I'm getting paid for my services. I'm not getting paid, in other words, the benefit that's coming to me is because of the effort that I'm putting in. Granted, I'm working with Yayin Nesach, but the benefit's not coming directly from the Yayin Nesach itself. And so even though it's true that Yayin Nesach is Asar Bahana, that part's true. But Isar Hana means what? Isar Hana means that, right, another, if I sold it, even if I sell it, by the way, meaning there, and we're going to discuss that in the Gemara in just a moment, so there I'm transferring the Isar from the Yayin Nesach onto the money that I get in exchange for it. So in other words, there's another component of transferring of Isser from the Yayin Nesach to whatever I bartered it for, whatever I exchanged it for. But in other words, but Isser Hana means that I can't get direct benefit from the wine itself. I can't feed it to my animals. Sale would be included, but again, there's that other component that's involved. Smelling it. In other words, personal direct benefit from itself. Here again, we're not talking about direct benefit. We're talking about working in conjunction with the Yayin Nesach. But really, the truth of the matter is what I'm getting paid for is my effort and my services that I'm providing. Granted, I'm involved in something I shouldn't be involved in, but in other words, it's not really a direct benefit. So my time as Chara also. So that's what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara wants to try to wrap its head around. Why is it that when I work with the Yayin Nesach, we're going to say now, even b'di'eved, that the wages that I now have received are now aser. Ilei mahol v'yayin nesach aser b'ana, scharin ami aser. So the Gemara says, so maybe you want to tell me, look, maybe it's a very simple equation. Since the Yayin Nesach is aser b'ana, so the wages are going to be aser as well. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. That is just not, it's not a fact that just because something's aser b'ana, that means that when I work with it, my wages are going to be aser. Hari arla, uklai karen aser b'ana. So the Gemara says, look, let's go to other things which are aser b'ana. It's not a long list of things in the Torah that are aser b'ana. Arla, klai karen, chametz, by the way, interestingly, which is not coming up in today's daf. It's not part of the discussion today, but chametz, as we are now starting in the month of Nisan, so we get to think this way. Chametz also is aser b'ana, but again, what are the things that are aser b'ana? So the classic examples, arla and klai karen. Arla, fruit coming off the tree the first 3 years. Klai Akerim, anytime that I make a mixture in the field of grains and other seeds. So,
Shemitah produce.
Shemitah produce is not Asr Banah, although it will come up in today's daf, but it's not Asr Banah. So, in fact, you're allowed to eat the Shemitah produce. In fact, it's a mitzvah to eat the Shemitah produce. So, but that's.
You can also have it commercially, right?
Well, yeah, that's coming. It's coming up a little bit later on. So, Ari Arlo Klai Karen Dasr Banah, so it's Asr Banah v'tanan. And we learned in the Mishnah, Machem v'kiddush b'dmei mekudeshes. So the Gemara says that if I sell it, if I sell Arla, if I sell Klai Karen, and Kiddush b'dmeim, and I take that money. In other words, it's right, how should we look at it? It's still gotten gains. Meaning, it's also, but no, you're not allowed to sell it. But meanwhile, if I do sell it, and I take that money, and I'm a Kaddish woman with it, so mikudesha, so the Kiddush is going to be good Kiddush. So you see that when it comes to Arla and Klai Karim, so, profit that I get from it, gains that I get from it, are in fact going to be mutter. It's mutter b'ana. Meaning, if they were also b'ana, just like the item itself, so then the Kiddushin should not be good Kiddushin. Meaning the Gemara always uses an example of proof of ownership. Can I be Mekadosh a woman with that? So if I could be Mekadosh a woman with the gains of Arla and the gains of Klai Karen, so clearly that means that I am now the rightful owner of that item. And therefore, if I'm working for it and getting paid for it, once again, those gains, I'm the rightful owner of that money, seemingly. So once again, now we're trying to ask the question: if I'm working with the Ayin Nesach, the wages are going to be elsewhere. Why should that be? Ella, hol v'tofes es damav ka'avodes kochavim. So the Gemara says, "Oh, I see, because it's fisas damim," meaning that when it comes to Ayin Nesach, we know the halach is that Ayin Nesach is going to have the same status of avodah zara. In fact, it is avodah zara, meaning Ayin Nesach means that it was used as a libation for avodah zara. So you want to call it takrovis avodah zara, but either way, it's avodah zara. We know that one of the key components of avodah zarah is that anytime you take an avodah zarah and you try to exchange it with something else, that item that you exchange it with is going to have the same status as the avodah zarah itself. This has already been established earlier in the Masechta. Rashi quotes the Gemara back on Nun Dalet. Take a look at Rashi. Tofes es damav ka'avodes kochavim. Rashi writes to Kevin to Misnasech la'avodes kochavim harehi ka'avodes kochavim. So once it is actually libated for avodah zarah, it has the status of avodah zarah. Didameha asurin. And that means to say that anything that you receive value for it becomes it. Kida amaran, the Gemara quotes earlier, koshata mehaya imenu, harehu kamohu. Anything that is exchanged for it becomes it. Meaning has the same status as it. Vichihecha didama vasurim, schar pulasanami asar. And now what the Gemara is going to do is going to draw an equivalency. Look, if what you exchange for the avodah zarah has now the same status, so the wages when I work with avodah zarah is also going to have the same status as well. Now, okay, good. In other words, now again, I keep hammering the same point because it really requires us to think. Meaning when I work for something and I get schar for it, it's not the same thing as a direct exchange. It's not the same thing as a barter for it. In other words, right. What I'm doing is I'm getting paid for my services. It's not exactly the same, but the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around why is the Mishnah telling us that Schar is Aser? So maybe it's because by Avodah Zarah you have this idea that it becomes, whatever I barter for it becomes the status of Avodah Zarah. So maybe the same thing is true for wages as well.
When you're working with a wine, how do you know ahead of time that it's going to be used for Avodah Zarah?
In other words, you're giving an Okimta. The Gemara is assuming right now you know. You know it's Avodah Zarah, you know it's the Ayin Nesach. You're asked to work for it, you accept the position. Right now the Gemara is telling us what is the result of working with Avodah Zarah. Right, in other words, look, even before we start with the Mishnah, if someone says to you, look, I have Yai Nesach, would you work for me? Your answer should be no. you shouldn't accept such a job. What we're discussing right now is post facto, b'di'evit. You worked for the job, you got paid, now what is the status of this money? The Mishnah is teaching us that the status of the money is that it's Aser. The Gemara is trying to wrap its head around, why? Why is it Aser? So right now, suggestion number one, well, maybe because is an Isser Hana. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Arla and Klai Karen, which are Aser Ba'ana, and meanwhile, I get gains from it, I can be Mekadosh a woman. The Gemara's suggestion number two, Tfisas Damim. Well, you know that when I exchange Avodah Zarah, anything I get in exchange for it is going to have the status of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, okay, but even in now, suggestion number two, Gemara says, look, now the Gemara says, now Avodah Zarah is not the only thing that's Tofes Damim, that where I exchange something for it and it becomes whatever I exchange it for. The Gemara says another example that would be Peir Shvius. Now let's be clear. Peir Shvius obviously is not like a Avodah Zarah. In the comparison is a very strange one, but they do share the following, commonality. And that is that when I exchange for Avodah Zarah, the item becomes Avodah Zarah. When I exchange for Peir Shvius, that which I exchange for it has the same Kedusha. But Kedusha Peir Shvius, to be very clear, means that, let's go first to the Peir Shvius itself. Fruit that grows during the Shemitah year, it's not usher, meaning it has Kedusha.
It's restricted.
It means to say that I'm allowed to eat it, but that's the only thing I'm allowed to do. La'achla v'la'l'schora. I can eat the Peir Shvius, but I can't do anything else with it. I can't do commercial activity with it. Can I give it as gifts? Well, stay tuned. Actually, the Gemara is going to discuss that in a little bit. But in other words, it's restricted. Whatever I exchange for the Peir Shvius is going to have the same restrictions, which means that it can only be consumed. It can't be used commercially. Also, just another important point when it comes to when we're talking about Kedusha Shvius, is that it has a deadline. All Peir Shvius has a deadline, meaning there's what's called a Zman Bir, a time in which the Peir Shvius has to be terminated. Now, I'm going to use vague words when I describe the termination of it. The Gemara never is super clear exactly what happens at the Shas Bir, the Rishonim debate. One opinion is you have to actually physically destroy it, like the word itself indicates, like Bir Chametz. Another opinion is that you simply have to declare it ownerless, right, and be mafkirit, and allow other people to take it if they want. Whatever it is, in other words, there is a Shas Bir when it comes to Peir Shvius, and that means that anything I exchange for the Peir Shvius also is going to have a Zman Bir as well. Okay. So if it's Sinan. And now we are going to be learning a Mishnah together in Shvius. This is towards the end of the Masechta, 8th Perek. HaOmer Lepo HaHelech Dino Zu. Here. Take this coin. And Lekot Li Bo Yerek. Hayom. And what I want you to do now is go and pluck some vegetables for me. Interesting. Whatever. So Lekot Li Bo Yerek Hayom and pluck some vegetables for me. Schara Aser. So then that wages are going to be Aser. And I'll explain better in a moment why that should be. Let's first learn the entire Mishnah. Lekot Li Yerek Hayom. If, however, I say just simply, go and pluck vegetables for me, schar mutter, then the wages are going to be mutter. What just happened in this Mishnah? When I hold the coin in my hand and I say, hey, go pluck the vegetables for me, so then those wages are going to be usher. And meanwhile, if I just simply say to him, hey, go pick vegetables, so then the wages are going to be mutter. What's the difference? Rashi explains. Rashi says that in the first statement of Lekot Li, but when you're holding the coin in your hand, what it actually sounds like is, we're doing a transaction. Meaning, because I'm holding the coin in my hand and I say, hey, what you're going to do is as follows. We're going to exchange coin for vegetables.
For your labor.
Oh, okay, wait. I hear you. But in other words, what we'll do is we'll exchange coin for vegetable. So because I'm holding the coin up first, so basically what I'm basically saying is I want a transfer. Or as Rashi uses the language, mecher. That's a sale. You can't do that with Peir Shvius. That's why in the first part of the Mishnah, that's a no-no. Because now what you're doing is basically you're creating a transaction with Peir Shvius. If in the second half of the Mishnah, I just simply say, here, I want you to go pick the vegetables for me, so and I'll pay you for picking them for me, so that's mutter, because now I'm paying him for services. And this is not a transaction, I'm paying him for the wages. What have we just learned together in that Mishnah Shvius? That even though something is tofes is damav, we know Peir Shvius is tofes damav. We know that anything exchanged for Peir Shvius is going to have the status of the Shvius. And meanwhile, I'm allowed to, at least b'dieved, accept, receive, and use the payment for services. So now we are back to square one. Back to square one. Amrisha says that if you work for Yain Esach and you get paid for working for Yain Esach, that money that you got paid is Aser. It's Aser Ba'na. You can't get benefit from the money. Schara is Aser. And here we are now, as we're approaching the end of the first Amud of the Daf. And, well, no, so more to go. But in other words, but we're still not, we still don't know why Schara is Aser. Is it because of it's Aser Ba'ana? No. In other words, there are other Isuri Hana. When I work for Isuri Hana, the wages are going to be Mutter. Is it because there's Tfisas Damim? Again, no. By Shemitah where there's Tfisas Damim, and I can get paid for Shemitah's Damim, for I can get paid for working with Peir Shvius. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
Service first, by the Yayin Esser, then he gets paid.
Either way. In other words, you're getting paid for working with Yayin Esser. The wages are Esser, and the Gemara wants to know why. And here we go. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kenasu Shekansu Chachamim. So the Gemara says it's a kenas. It really is a penalty. Meaning, it's not an Esser Daraisa. It does not have to do with Esser Hana. It doesn't even have to do with Tfisas Damim. It's a kenas. It's just simply a penalty that was levied by the Chachamim for the person for being involved in Yayin Esser. So, Kenas Shekansu Chachamim Bechamar of Yayin Esser. When it comes to a chamar, a donkey driver, which we'll explain better in just a moment, or when it comes to Yayin Esser, because of the seriousness of these kinds of activities, so therefore the chachamim penalized the person and therefore prohibited the wages that he earns. Yayin Esser Hadamara, now Yayin Esser, that's our Mishnah, that's our discussion. So in other words, so it's basically, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's simply a knas. And what about chamar? What does that mean? Mahi detanya. Gemara quotes the following braisa. Hachamarim shayu osa malacha beper shvias. If let's say you hire a donkey who is being involved in Per Shvius, Charan Shvius, so the wages are going to be Shvius. What does that mean? Mais Charan Shvius. Ilei Mediavina Luhu Schami Per Shvius. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? It means you're going to be paying him with the Per Shvius. The Gemara says, Nimsa Zeparei Chovo Me Per Shvius. So the Gemara says, well, you can't do that. You hire a donkey driver during the Shemitah year and you're going to be paying him with Per Shvius. You're basically taking an obligation that you have, right, an account payable, and you're using your payer shvius to pay off your accounts. You can't do that. Torah says that the only thing you could do with payer shvius is that you can eat it. And that's the only thing you can do, and you cannot do any kind of commercial activity. Paying off your debts with payer shvius is an iser of la'achla v'lo l'schara. It's a bitul aseh. Ve'ela dekadosh scharan b'kedusha shvius. So the Gemara says, okay, so I think I know what the Braisa means. What the Braisa must mean, therefore, is that when I rent out my donkey during the Shemitah year, and I get paid with that, so the payment is going to have Kedusha Shvius. In other words, it will have those restrictions of the Shemitah year. Mi Kaddish, the Gemara says, but is that true? Vatayin, the Gemara says, why don't we consider the following? Following Braisa. Ha'omalaparo helech dino zev lakoli yerek hayom. Now, I know, it's funny. The Gemara says, Vatayin, it's a Mishnah. And I know it's a Mishnah, because not by my Bikiyos, because we just did this Mishnah 10 lines earlier in the Daf. So it's a Mishnah. V'hatzanan. Ha'omer l'po, helech dino zev l'kot li'yerek hayom schara mutter. L'kot li'yerek bo hayom schara aser. If I take the money and we just have to flip the Mishnah around. Meaning the way the Gemara presents the Mishnah is reversed. But anyway, let's read the Mishnah as corrected by the Bach. If you hand the coin to the worker and say, here, for this coin, exchange it for Per Shvius, so then the coin is going to be Aser. Aser meaning it's going to have Per Shmita. It's going to have Kedusha Shvius. However, if I don't hold the coin up and I ask him to work for me and I give him the coin afterwards, so then Schara is going to be Mutter. Again, I did the Mishnah as corrected by the Bach, as we did just a couple minutes earlier. So in other words, so what do you see over here? Clearly, that when a person gets paid for working for the Shemitah year, so then it's going to be not Aser, meaning not restricted, but the payment is going to be Mutter. It's going to be Mutter Lagamre. So, basically, here we go. So in terms of getting paid for Yayin Esser, so we have the statement of Rav Yochanan, that's a kenas. It's just simply a penalty. It has nothing to do with the Esser Hana, or not nothing. It's not a direct result of the Esser Hana. It's not because it's Tofes Damim. Maybe because of both, but in other words, it's a kenas. It's simply a kenas. And Rav Yochanan also pointed out there's a secondary kenas as well, and that is allowing your donkey to be hired, to be rented, for working with Per Shvius. Now, on the second point of Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused. Because we learned in the Mishnah in Shvius twice this morning, that if you get hired to work with Per Shvius, and it's clearly wages, and it's not exchanged for the Peros, so then Schar is going to be Mutter, not Aser, not restricted. So how does that work? So the Gemara is going to give two approaches to this. Amar Abai La'olam Yavin Alei Schar Mi Per Shvius. So Abai says, well, in terms of what we're describing earlier regarding the donkey driver getting paid with Per Shvius, it actually means what we rejected earlier, that you're getting paid with Per Shvius. So the Gemara says, yeah, but wait one second. But that is paying off a debt using Per Shvius. Isn't that a no-no? don't we say that you can't use your parashiyos for commercial activity? So the Gemara says, well, there is a manner in which you can use your parashiyos to pay off debts, but there is a permissible fashion to do so. And the Gemara says, and let me illustrate how this would work. Now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Now this Mishnah happens to be not talking about parashiyos, this is talking about Maaser Sheni, but still the point is going to be essentially the same point. Maaser Sheni. What is the Maaser Sheni? So again, just a quick refresher. In years 2, 3, 4, 5 of the Shemitah cycle, so the second 10%, the first 10% is always going to be Maaser Rishon. It's always going to be given to the Levi. The second 10% of those years are what's called Maaser Sheni. Produce that now is still yours, has Kedusha, you bring it to Yerushalayim and you eat it in Yerushalayim. What you can do is you can take that Kedusha, transfer onto money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and spend that money on food, which you're going to end up consuming in Yerushalayim. This is Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, obviously, being that it has Kedusha, so the only thing you can do with a Maaser Sheni is you can eat it. Either eat the actual Maaser Sheni itself, or when you transfer to money, when you go to Yerushalayim, you're then going to be buying food with that money, and that's the only thing you can do. So much like Peir Shvius, which has restrictions in that you can only eat it, Maaser Sheni or Maaser Sheni money, similarly, has those kinds of restrictions where I can only eat it, or when I have the money, use it to buy food and eat that food. So in other words, then, just like Peir Shvius, I can't use it to pay off any of my debts. Lo yomar adam l'chaver. With all that in mind, now we're learning the Mishnah. We are turning from Amud Alf to Amud Beis. Lo yomar adam l'chaver. A person should not say to his friend, Hali li peris alalu li Yerushalayim l'chalek. You know what? Do me a favor. It's a lot of Maaser Sheni here. So what you'll do for me is you'll schlep the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Now obviously that is a service, and I'll pay you for those services. And you know I'm going to pay you? I'll give you a cut of the Maaser Sheni. So the Mishnah says don't do that. You can't do that. If you take a look at the top Rashi on Amud Beis, Shetitol Sham Chelek Bahem, when we get to Yerushalayim, you'll take a cut because thank you very much. And obviously I owe you. The Asa Rashi continues, the Asa Lefroa Chovomi Maaser Sheni. Because you can't pay debts using your Maaser Sheni money. The Alpha Gav Shigam Zeh Ochlob Yerushalayim. And look, boy, he's gonna eat it, meaning he's obviously eating in Yerushalayim, but you're using the Maaser Sheni to pay off a debt, and you can't do that. So, but rather, what can you do? Aval Omer Lo, Ha'alam La'ochlam, Lishto Sam Yerushalayim. What you could say to him is as follows. Hey, do me a favor. Bring it up to Yerushalayim. You don't talk salary. Just bring it up to Yerushalayim. And then, Omer Lo, and then, I'm sorry, V'nosen Zeh, Lezeh, Matana Shochinam. And then when you get to Yerushalayim, what you can do is then you can give him a gratuity, a consideration. In other words, you can use the Maaser Sheni as a gift, a matana shochinam. That's what you can do. Now, I know, right, I think like you in these regards. So in other words, right, obviously it's a loophole. In other words, is there this, can we create an understanding that this is what's going to happen? Meaning, does he understand that he's going to get paid? Exactly the parameters of the loophole, so I cannot articulate. I don't know how to what extent this loophole works. But the idea is as follows, is that as long as it's not clearly articulated at the beginning, that I am paying you the Maaser Sheni for your services that you're providing for me, so then under those circumstances, when you get to Yerushalayim, you want to give him what the Gemara describes as a matana shochinam, right? A free gift. If you want to give him a consideration when you get to Yerushalayim, that you're allowed to do.
And the other guy can ask him for the wages. You gave me a gift, and I gave you for the gift.
Okay, right.
So somehow,
right. I'm not. I understand. I understand. It. You know how to exactly articulate this loophole, but it's a loophole.
That's gone for sure.
Right. So what Abaye is saying over here is as follows. So in terms of the chamarim, in terms of the donkey driver. So when the Brisa says, you go back to the Amud Aleph and you read the Brisa, HaChamem Shayosim Malacha BePeir Shvius, that when I have the donkey drivers who are working and receiving Peir Shvius, meaning the donkey drivers receiving Peir Shvius, so the Scharim Shvius that can be paid in Shvius, so according to Abaye, we could be talking in a similar idea, that in other words, they could be receiving payment in the manner that we just described, where the payment was not articulated at the beginning of the of the contract, but just simply at the end, thank you very much, and here's a little gift, here's a little consideration. Okay. That's one possibility. And Rava says, let's differentiate a little bit differently, a little more fundamentally. La'olam dekavish b'kedusha shvius. So the Gemara says, no. Really the truth of the matter is that, here's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means like this, is that with the donkey driver, he got paid, not in pay shvius, he got paid in money. Okay. And what we're saying is as follows. You know what? Rav Yochanan says that even though we're saying that principally speaking, the wages that you receive for working with pay shvius do not have the kedusha shvius. And do not have it with the attachment, the restrictions, and the regulations of Pereshvias. They're not confined to Lach Lavel Eschara. They don't have a Shas Bior, meaning they're not really restricted. Fundamentally, they're not restricted. La'olam dekadosh b'kedusha Shvias, dekakash lach Pawel. So the Gemara says, now, what about the case of the Pawel? Meaning the mission that we learned on the Amud Aleph two times over. The mission that told us that if I have a worker, and I hire him during the Shemitah year, to go and to harvest for me some of the Pereshvias, And he gets paid, so those wages are mutter, and they have no restrictions. And meanwhile, when it comes to the donkey driver, we said that the payment are restricted. So the Gemara says like this. This is Rava's answer. Pol de lo nafish agrei, lo kansuul, rabbanan. Chamar de nafish agrei, lo kansuul, rabbanan behu. Umasnisen, chumar di'ayin asachshani. So Rava says it go like this. When it comes to working with Pereshvias, so we're going to be talking about basically big wages, small wages. When you're a poa, when you're a worker in the field, you're not getting paid a lot. So there, should you be working the field during the Shemitah year and being hired out by somebody to work and harvest? So the answer is no. But are the chachamim going to ban your wages, or they're not going to ban? Ban's not the right word. Are they going to set a restriction on your wages now because you work with Pereshvias? So maybe now your wages should be restricted? No. The Chachamim did not ban your wages. And your wages now are going to be free and clear. And you could use it with them for whatever you want. Should you have taken the job to begin with? The answer is no. But obviously this is a worker, he needs money. So the wages are not going to be restricted. What about the donkey driver? Because remember, Rav Yochanan said two penalties that were penalized by the Chachamim. One was Yayin Nesach and two was Chamarim. The case of the Chamarim is the donkey driver who rented out his donkey so that he would get paid for working with Pereshvias. There, Rav Yochanan says that there's a knas, there's a penalty levied by the Chachamim. So there, Rav explains why, because there we're talking about serious wages. When you're renting out your donkey, so that is a big hire. That's a lot more wages. Gemara does not talk in terms of numbers, but it's just simply what the Gemara describes as Nefishin Agrayhu. Those are big wages. And therefore the Chachamim levied a penalty against those wages. Those wages now have the restrictions of Shvius. Meaning they can only be used for eating. Obviously it's money. Meaning that the money has to be transferred for food and can only be eaten. And also there's a Shas Beer, there's a Zman Beer consideration as well. That is the distinction between the worker on the field during the Shemitah year versus hiring out your donkey. And then what about Yayin Nesach? There's no difference between what kind of wages we're talking about, big wages versus small wages. When we're talking about Yayin Nesach, there the overarching consideration is Yayin Nesach. Meaning, and because it's Yayin Nesach and because of the Chumrah of Yayin Nesach, so there the Chachamim levied a penalty that you shouldn't have accepted the job working with Yayin Nesach. The fact that there's an Isser or not, the fact that there's Tfisas Kedusha, or Tfisas Isser, Yayin Nesach, those are considerations, but that in of itself does not make the wages Usser. What makes the wages Usser is that the Chachamim were so unhappy that you took such a job that they banned your wages. And there the wages are Usser, and you can't get any benefit from those wages.
But when you move the barrels, it's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, that's coming up. Meaning, in the Mishnah, if it's just one of the jobs that you're doing, so then it's mutter, we'll come back to that. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now through the first step of today's Gemara. So again, question is very simple. The Mishnah tells us that if you get hired to work with Yayin Nesach, and again, we're talking about Mamash Yayin Nesach, so then those wages that you earned are going to be Aser. Question is why? Gemara gave a number of suggestions, but the answer really is it's the Knas. It's a penalty that was levied by the Chachamim for working with Yayin Nesach, and because of the Chomer HaIsser. Because the Isser is so substantial, therefore, the Chachamim mastered it. Okay. Step two of today's daf, Ibayilahu, the Gemara's question is as follows, Schar l'stam yena mahu. What if you work with stam yena? Okay, so now we go on to level number two. Level number two is that the guy just simply manufactured the wine, or the guy touched the wine. Now the wine is stam yena. The issur derabanan that when a guy produces wine or is maga, intentionally touches wine. So the wine now is going to be asur b'shtiyah uvehana'a, but all that is on a rabbinic level. So now, the issur to begin with is an issur derabanan. Now I'm hired to work with stam yena. What is going to be about the wages when I'm working with stam yena? Not mamash yainasa. Are those wages going to be asur or are they going to be mutter? Question of the Gemara. Ibai luhu. Schar la stam yena ma'u mi amrina kevin di isur chamur ki di yainasach. Schar o nami asur. On one hand, basically we should give it the same status as yainasach itself. Just like Yain Esach, the wages are going to be asur, so too. By Stam Yenam, the wages are going to be asur. O Dilma, Hovetu Masu Kil, Afskar Nami Kil. We know that Stam Yenam, even though, effectively, it's asur b'shtiya, asur b'hana. You can't drink it, you can't get benefit from it. But we do know that there is a relaxation, a little bit, regarding Stam Yenam. Where do we see that evident? By Tuma. We learned earlier in the Masechta. That, right, Rashi here quotes, the Gemara all the way back on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Rashi quotes it, right, the first narrow line of Rashi. Shalosh Yenothein. There are three wines, meaning three categories of wine. Yainesach Asabana Umitami Tuma Chamur Bechazayas. So there is Yainesach, which gives off Tuma, Tuma Chamura, meaning it's an Avatuma. Meaning, again, not on a Dinda Araisa, but still, rabbinically, it's that level of Tuma. Stam Yenam Asabana Umitami Tuma Mashkin Bereviyas. Now, as far as Stam Yenam is concerned, so there the level of Tumah is only that of a mashke, only that of a liquid. So already in the world of Tumah, we see that there is a slight relaxation of the level of Tumah. So what the Gemara is suggesting now is that maybe for Schar, for working with Stam Yenam, also we can be more Mekel. Now here, by being more Mekel, so that means it's going to be Mutter. Meaning, by Tumah, right, we can actually talk about dropping down levels. By wages, it's binary. It's either usser or it's mutter. But in other words, but at least we can at least entertain the idea that by stam yenam it's going to be mutter.
Isn't stam yenam the Gezeirah Rabbanan?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be isur chal isur if they put a prohibition on it?
In other words, it's a knas.
It
kanas just simply means that the chachamim penalized you financially, so they have it's within their right and it's within their power to financially penalize anything they want. In other words, it operates In other words, it operates through the principles of hefker based on hefker. In other words, they can financially penalize you for circumstances that even if the yisur is only nisur derabanan. Okay, so Tashma. So there was a person who rented out his boat, and he rented out his boat for the transport of Stam Yenam. Right? In other words, if I could just modernize the case over here of the Gemara, in other words, you have a trucking company, and you are now asked to ship wine, a wine of a non-Jew. So the wine of a non-Jew nowadays is Stam Yenam, and now you're hiring your truck in order to ship it out. So it's, right, it's, the Gemara is, so the case is a case where you are now receiving gains from the Stam Yenam. What happens in such a situation? And he got paid. And interestingly, he didn't get paid in money. He got paid in wheat. Well, okay. He got paid with a commodity. Either way, and Rav Chista issued a ruling on this. And Rav Chista's ruling, very clear. So first burn the grain, and then bury the grain. Now the Gemara. Now we get the basic point. The basic point is that you can't get benefit from the grain. Okay, got it. Why the burn and bury? Right, burn, bury, both. So the Gemara is going to explain v'lemale badrinu. So why not just simply scatter the grain? Also b'huli de tekala. The Gemara says okay, but that's no good because once the chachamim have banned the grain, if all you do is just simply throw it away, someone else is going to collect it, and it's not good. Why don't you burn it and then scatter it? The Gemara says, still, it has nutritional value. People are going to take it. People are going to use it as fertilizer. That's also no good. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we just simply bury it? In other words, and we don't have to burn it, just simply bury it. Milo Tanan, the Gemara says, remember the Gemara Sanhedrin. Echad Evan Shniskobo, Vechad Echinitla, Vechad Sayef, Sheneragbo, Vechad Suda Shenechnakbo, Kulam Nikbarimo. Right? The person who was executed by Beis Din. So not only is the person going to be buried, and as Rashi reminds us, he's going to be buried in a, and the truth of the matter is the Gemara is going to remind us, he's going to be buried in a special cemetery designated for people who are executed, but not only are they going to be buried, but the item that was used to execute also is going to be buried together with him, right? All the items that were used for the execution, the tree that he was hung on, I know one of them is right. So the tree that he was hanged on,
hung.
Thank you. Okay.
He was alive.
Right. Okay. Whatever. Whatever. Okay. So the tree that he was hanged on, hung. There we go. Hung on. Oh, I'm hung on this. Okay. Anyway, they're all going to get buried together with him. Now the Gemara says, and we don't have to. And the point is that those items are just like the person himself is Asur Bahana. The instrument of execution is also going to be Asur Bahana. And they don't have to be destroyed. In other words, and they could just be buried as is. Why didn't Rav Chisda just simply say bury the wheat? The Gemara says, "Hasam de kakavri bebeidina mucha milsa da aruge beis tenenu hacha la mucha milsa emer inishkana va'aisa kavra hacha." And the Gemara says, and again over there, look, contextually makes perfect sense. When the person is executed and we're burying the person, he's buried in a special cemetery, right? If anyone ever were to dig it up for whatever reason, he's going to realize, oh wait one second. Right, there's the remains of the person, right, there's a handkerchief, there's a gallows, meaning just contextually you get it. You know that that is going to be Asur Bahana just simply by, A, it's being buried next to a person, B, it's buried in a cemetery designated for Haruge Beis Din, people are going to realize. But if what you do is you're digging up in your backyard and you uncover all this grain, that's interesting. Why is there grain buried in my backyard? Or it doesn't even have to be your backyard. It could be wherever you locate it, wherever you discover it. Isn't that strange? All this grain over here, oh, I get it. Must be a thief stole it, and right now just needed some time to cover up the goods, literally cover up the goods, cover up the stolen goods, and he'll come back for it later, but you know what? What's it called? Let me help myself to it. So in other words, if I don't burn and destroy it, and all we just, if I don't burn and bury it, and all we do is just bury it, so it may get me uncovered and may be used by somebody else, something which is by Knas of the Chachamim, Asur Bahana. So the Gemara says, and that's why Rav Chisda's ruling was to both burn and bury it. Okay.
My brother says, no.
Oh, if you burn it.
If you don't burn it. Burn it.
Oh, if you don't burn it, you just bury it. Okay. Okay. Could be. Okay, could be. Fine. The Gemara chose its reason. Okay, so let's quickly recap. What we introduced to in our mission today is this idea that if I'm working directly with the Ayin Esach, so Schar Aser, the wages are going to be Aser, although the Mishnah points out that both in the case of where you hire yourself out or you rent out your equipment, and only incidentally Derech Agav is working with the Ayin Esach, so then Schar is going to be Mutter. But if your principal hiring is going to be to work directly with Yain Esach, the wages are going to be Aser. Why should that be? Is it because it's an Isser Hana? Is it because it's Tofes Damim? The answer for both of those questions is no. Because we find other things that are Aser Bana, and we find other things that are Tofes Damim, and meanwhile, the Schar is not going to be Aser, the Schar is going to be Mutter. So why should it be? So we go to the statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, in the middle of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, really encapsulates it. It's a knas. It's a rabbinic penalty. You shouldn't be hiring yourself out for Yayin Nesach, and because you did, so therefore the wages which me'ikir hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, are really mutter, but the chachamim were so upset with you, so therefore they penalized. And then they said the star is going to be out there. What we had to do over the course of today's daf is that by working with Peir Shvius, working with Shemitah produce, some Mishnah say that it's mutter, the wages are mutter. Some, another Brisa says that the wages are aser. We made distinctions, the Bayin Rabbah made distinctions, but that was off to the side. In terms of the Yayin Nesach, it's a penalty made by the Chachamim. Second part of today's daf, what about Stam Yenam? In other words, it's not mamish yayin esek, but it just simply is wine, which is manufactured by a guy. But it wasn't yayin esek mamish, it's just an isser derabanan. But that isser derabanan still, an isser shkia and an isser ana, are the wages going to be usser as well? Reasons why we thought to be makel is because at least we know in the area of tumah, stamienim drops down a level, so maybe the schar is going to be mutter as well. We turn to the episode with Rav Chista. Rav Chista said that a person hired out his boat to transport yayin esek, or not yayin esek, stam yenam. Rav Chista said very clearly, the wheat that was received as payment for that, so you have to burn it, you have to bury it, meaning he feels that the stam yenam also is going to be aser behana.